Welcome to the Lutheran Education Podcast, brought to you by Lutheran Special Education Ministries. In this podcast, we'll explore trends, issues, and events surrounding Lutheran education. In each episode, we'll invite educational experts to shed light on topics that support educators, administrators, and staff. Thank you for listening to LSEM's Lutheran Education Podcast.
Welcome to the Lutheran Education Podcast, brought to you by Lutheran Special Education Ministries. It's great to have you back. I'm your host once again, Richard Schumacher. I am the Senior Director of Operations for LSEM, and today we are very excited to have a special guest. We're always excited to bring on guests, but today is really cool because we are introducing to the world and to the podcast LSEM's brand new Director of Special Education. Her name is Dr. Tracy Salgado. Tracy, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you. Super excited to be here. I appreciate the invitation.
So Tracy, I'm just going to start off by saying that I know over the last several months, we've had plenty of opportunities to have me asking you questions in the form of like job interview settings. This is going to be a whole lot more relaxed conversation today. So looking forward to that, as I'm sure you are as well. But why don't we just get started with just kind of the simple basic questions you always ask someone when they first start out. Tell us about yourself, who you are, where you're from, a little bit about your educational work background, and what brought you to LSEM.
Okay, great. Yeah. So where I'm from, originally from Wisconsin, grew up in Wisconsin, spent the majority of my life in the frozen tundra of the north where the Packers beat the Vikings and the Lions.
Making lots of friends in certain areas of the country already.
I know, right? All those Packer fans. Yeah, and then I got tired of all the cold and I tried living in South Carolina for a while and that wasn't still warm enough for me. So now I live in Arizona, just a little bit north of Phoenix. And I'm loving the heat and the sun and never ever having to shovel snow only if I want to go up north. So it's been great. And got most of my education in Wisconsin and all of my experience teaching in Wisconsin. I've taught special education for 25 years now in three states and three countries, and moved into this role just very recently, like you said, Rich.
So three states is interesting. Three countries is even more interesting. Tell us more about where you've taught internationally.
So I did my student teaching in New Zealand and at Christchurch, New Zealand. And I got to spend 3 months there teaching regular education. It wasn't special education. They have a very different system for children with learning differences. So I didn't get to spend much time there. And that really wasn't on my radar at that time. So I didn't really push it a whole lot, but spent 3 months teaching the littles. And then I went up to the upper elementary level for a while, just so they said, you know, to get a spectrum of how they teach there. It was pretty great. I got to learn firsthand Marie Clay's approach to reading, and that was really helpful back here in the States. It hadn't been introduced yet, so I was happy to bring that to my classrooms. And then I taught in China for a little while, got to do an exchange program where I was interviewed and then chosen to represent my school in Wisconsin as a teacher leader, and went over to China for a while and taught middle school children just conversational English. They had a formal English teacher, but I was the conversational English teacher. So it was real fun to talk with the kids about how we just have everyday normal kind of street conversations. And then I taught by choice a little bit in Mexico. It wasn't a very long stint. It was pretty short, and but it was fun. It was a choice I made, and I loved getting to know some of the other kids and families while I was teaching there.
So Tracy, having had as much experience as you've had in international settings, besides that curriculum that you talked about, what other valuable things did you learn that you were able to utilize in your classroom based on your international experiences?
You know, it's interesting. Like I said, in New Zealand, I didn't really get to interact with the students there who had different learning needs. It was China that I really paid attention to it. And boy, they just basically, if a student had any sort of a learning difference at all, they just weren't allowed to go to school. So there was no program. If you were found to not being able to keep up with the curriculum, you were just kicked out of school. You didn't get to stay in class. Any sort of deviance from the high expectations in a Chinese classroom, you were removed from the class and never ever to come back again. So that was really, really shocking to see, coming from the United States, where we really spend a lot of time making sure children with learning disabilities have access to the curriculum and there's room for them in not only their classrooms, but in the school building, and they're welcomed and they're, you know, they're sort of like, it's okay that you have a learning difference. You're still the same as us. And they're welcomed so heavily. So I really took that experience from China back here with, I don't ever want to see that happening for our students here, what happens in China, ever. It broke my heart to witness that. And it was really hard to learn that that's how they handled those students. In Mexico, it was like a little bit of a mix. They were welcoming for those students, but not as much as here in the States. They just didn't quite know what to do with them. So they were separated. So again, I didn't want that to happen in the States. And that kind of just emphasized my strong belief that students with learning differences, whether it's you're gifted and you're, you know, the curriculum is too easy for you, down to a student who just has the highest need of difficulty to access the curriculum, it doesn't matter where a student falls on the spectrum of learning needs. Everyone learns, has the ability and the right to learn and have access to education. And, you know, what they do with that is up to them. But man, it is my just strong core down to my soul belief that every child has a right to education and has the ability to learn, maybe not all the same way, but to find that way for them to access education and new information and do what they need to do with it. So that's how it affected me. It was pretty strong.
So when you started out in teaching, I think a lot of teachers have that time, that incident where it's kind of that welcome to teaching moment. You know, the part where you really get that first, they didn't really teach me about this in college. Now I have to deal with this. Do you have a particular memory, a kind of a welcome to teaching moment that you'd be willing to share?
Ooh, wow. That's a good question, Rich. You know, there's a lot of aha moments in my teaching career. I don't think I quite remember a welcome to teaching. I do remember my welcome to special education world. Okay. It was a student that I had who was quite, he had a lot of behaviors that tended to be on the violent side. And he did not like me very much because I held his feet to the fire and my expectations were the same for him as they would be for any other student his age. And he had the ability. He absolutely had the ability. He just didn't have the desire. And he got angry at me and he held me up by my throat up against a blackboard. That was fun. but
and
I
you're
think
still teaching.
Oh yeah. Oh gosh, I have stories like that all over the place. But I think the most fun memory is the students that just appreciate that, you know, students just fall in love with their teachers. And I was always so grateful to build such positive quality relationships with 99.9% of my students, except for that one I just mentioned, where, you know, I would build programs where the students, even who weren't in special education, would pop their head into my classroom and like, what is this room? Can I come here too? Like, can I bring my work? Will you help me understand things? And it was just like, oh, buddy, I wish I could. This would be so great. But it felt good that other kids were seeing the program and the kids who are coming to my classroom at, you know, resource pullout as a positive thing and a helpful thing and a supportive thing. That just really made my day when students would do that.
We're talking with Dr. Tracy Salgado, the Director of Special Education at Lutheran Special Education Ministries. A lot of teachers can think back to that moment in when they were a child where they decided, yep, I want to be a teacher, you know, and for many of them, that's very early on. You know, they liked school, they liked their teachers, they liked everything about that educational process. And so they knew that this was what they wanted to do. How about yourself? Do you have a moment in your childhood when you knew that you wanted to go into education to be a teacher? And also, when did special education come into the mix as far as what you wanted to do with your career?
Yeah, I definitely remember when I decided I wanted to be a teacher. So like I mentioned, I grew up in Wisconsin, and those of us in the upper Midwest are all too familiar with the long, cold, dark winters. And I have siblings, younger sisters. And then we lived in a neighborhood where across the street, they had all girls there too. And we were all sort of the same age. And long, dark winter, we'd get together and play in each other's basements. And one day we decided to play school, and they voted me to be the teacher because I was the oldest. So I got to be the teacher, and we set up desks and we brought all of our stuffed animals, and we put up a piece of paper on the wall for a blackboard, and our markers weren't a thing back then. So we had crayons, and I was writing on my pretend blackboard and pretending to teach the alphabet and how to read and things. And I very, very distinctly remember looking at my sisters and my friends and all the stuffed animals standing in front of our quote unquote blackboards, thinking, I want to be a teacher when I grow up. This is awesome. I love this. And I just kind of got tingly, and boom, from there, I was going to be a teacher when I grew up. And here I am 100 years later, a teacher. And, but special education wasn't as crystal clear. It sort of just fell in my lap. I was hungry for working, and I started off as in a regular setting, but I had a passion for kids with hearing loss. And in college, I happened to know somebody who was fluent in sign language, and so they started teaching me a little bit of sign, and it just kind of grew from there. And I ended up finding a role that meshed really well with our family needs at the time, working with people with hearing disabilities. And so I got to go to school to learn sign language and work with these people, and then ultimately kids. And my special education background just grew from there. It sort of was organic in how it started and how it grew. And it's just real interesting to look back on that history. For me to look back, because I know all the details, but it's real interesting.
So one more question about kind of your past educational experiences, but talk to me about, again, you mentioned the student who didn't kind of mesh with you and that unfortunate interaction. Talk about a time, like one of the first times where you had a student where it clicked and you had that aha moment instead of the oh my gosh moment that you described a little bit earlier on. So we'll give balance to that. So an aha moment that you've experienced with student.
In special education?
Yes.
Oh, that would be my Sherry. She was a wonderful, wonderful student who, gosh, she and I just clicked. She was like my own child almost. When I wasn't around and she was working with other staff, they would tell me that she would. So she was deaf and blind and cognitively disabled. So she had three struggles in her life. And so we were using tactile sign language with her. And so
I would work with her for a while, and then sometimes she'd have to work with another staff for different needs. And that staff would say, she's always signing your name. She's always asking for you. And when she would come back to me, she would hug me and she would hold my hand. And anything I asked her to do, she would not only do it, but she would do it to the nth degree. She just took it and ran with it. She just loved, I don't know what it was, like the way that we were working together, the energy she got from me. I'm not sure what it was, but the two of us just clicked, and everything that I was teaching with her, working with her on, it just flowed. She picked it up. If she struggled with it, she never gave up. She never melted down. She would say, she would sign hard or, you know, difficult, or she would tell me, and we would just work through it. And it was wonderful. I worked with her for 3 years before she moved on. And what was really great is I ran into her at the mall. Gosh, I think it was 10 years later, 12 years later. And I ran into her, and she was with somebody else. And I recognized her right away. So I went up to that somebody and I said, this is who I am. This is how I know her. Do you mind if I say hi? And they said, no, yeah, go ahead. She's probably not going to remember you, but go ahead and say hi. She remembered me. She instantly grabbed my hands and she smelled my hands. And she immediately started signing my name and hugging me and crying and would not let go. And she was like, hello, I missed you. Hello, hello. It was an incredible moment, you know, that it's not often as teachers we get to have that moment where we know we made a difference in somebody's life. And clearly I did. And it was just, oh, even now it just like brings up tears, and it was wonderful. So it was my Sherry.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Great place for us to take a break, I think. So we'll go ahead and stop there. When we come back from the other side of our break, we'll talk a little bit more about your new role at LSEM and some of the plans and the vision you have for us and for our Lutheran schools in the days and years to come. So at this time, we'll take a quick break, and we'll be back with Dr. Tracy Salgado on the other side. You're listening to the Lutheran Education Podcast, brought to you by Lutheran Special Education Ministries.
Lutheran Special Education Ministries is an organization committed to serving schools, churches, and families to advance the success of children who have learning needs. Our commitment to this mission began with the opening of the Lutheran School for the Deaf in Detroit. Over the years, our ministry has expanded, and today LSEM is proud to serve in Lutheran schools across the country. But as our ministry has grown, our commitment to helping students succeed academically in an environment where they can also grow spiritually is as strong as ever. So if your church or school is looking for professional development for your faculty, information to share with struggling families, or for a ministry partner to support an existing resource room or start a new one, LSEM is ready to help you meet your specialized learning goals. For more information about how LSEM can help you build brighter futures for your students, please contact us at 248-419-3390 or visit our website at www.luthsped.org. That's www.luthsped.org.
And welcome back to the Lutheran Education Podcast, brought to you by LSEM. We are continuing our conversation with Dr. Tracy Salgado, the new and reigning world champion of special education directors at Lutheran Special Education Ministries. I don't know, it just came out, I said it. So anyway, Tracy, had a chance to apply for this position here earlier this fall, and went through a very rigorous exercise in terms of the application process and interview process and all the rest of that, and came out on the other side as the top choice. And we were blessed that you said yes to that. So what about the idea of working in Lutheran schools was appealing to you? What led you to consider this role?
Yeah, no, I'm the one who's blessed by being able to fill this role. And
that I endured. I survived your interview process.
For those Lutherans listening who know Ross Stieber, you can thank him if you've ever been through the process that Ross went through for interviewing. That's what we put Tracy through. So pray for her. But thank you, Dr. Stieber, wherever you're at. Appreciate that help.
Awesome. Yeah. No, I really feel like I'm blessed having been chosen for this role. It's always been a dream of mine to be able to, like I said in my interview, and because it's true, is we're all given gifts, right? The Bible talks about the gifts that God gives us. And I've been blessed with the gift of teaching. And in my classrooms, I always brought into, whenever possible, I would bring God into my classroom. Sometimes it was spoken, sometimes it was unspoken. It would always depend on the setting. In a public school, of course, I can't talk about God as a teacher. If students asked me, I would answer the best that I could. I would answer prayerfully and honestly and, you know, do the best that I could, but then also end it with, and you should talk to your mom and dad about this, because it was a public school. So I started to resent having to have that little disclaimer on there or not be able to just bring it up naturally. And, you know, children are such a gift from God too. It's just like God was present everywhere in my classroom. So it's always been, I need to find a role where I can be free about this. Because teaching is such a God-given thing for me and children are gifts from God. And it's just, I just needed a place to live that. And so this role opened and I thought, oh boy, if this isn't the best scenario, I don't know what is. And so I was so grateful to be moved through the different processes and, you know, the interview process, and then finally be got that phone call that, hey, you know, we'd like to offer you. So ecstatic. And it's what brought me here. And I really think it was such a heart thing that it became, that it was such a God thing. And he placed it on my heart a long time ago and brought me all the way through to now.
So as director of special education, one of the big things that the role gets to do is gets to provide a lot of professional development opportunities for the teachers in our Lutheran schools. What are some of the areas of expertise, topics that kind of rise to the top for you when it comes to what your knowledge base is? What are some of those things that you're looking forward to sharing with other schools?
Yeah, differentiation is huge. I'm all about trying to keep kids in the classroom whenever possible and teaching teachers how to differentiate so students with learning differences can stay in the classroom and still be challenged in whatever direction they need to be challenged. I also really enjoy working with schools to embrace kids with learning differences and how that they can make them a more present part of their school, not isolate them so much, which is kind of the history of kids with learning differences, learning disabilities. I love talking about bringing families together and working with teachers, that parent and family, the family and teacher connection. But mostly that all kids, you know, the very top one is all kids have, and I alluded to this earlier, the ability to learn, they might learn differently and we might have to really dig deep to find that way that they can learn, but they always have the ability to learn, the way they need to learn and what they need to learn. I'm not saying every kid is going to go out there and learn trigonometry, but every child has the ability to learn according to their ability to their needs. And that's my biggest area of passion and expertise.
Boy, I wish I knew you back when they were making me take trigonometry. I could have used an advocate to get out of that.
I don't know if I could have done that, but...
So when it comes to offering advice to classroom teachers, particularly those teachers who are working on a day-to-day basis with students that may have a diagnosed need or perhaps aren't diagnosed, but they're recognizing that there is something going on that some additional help is needed. What are some real basic accommodations that can be made to help really any learner in your mind, whether again they have a diagnosis, whether they have an IEP, or if they're just a regular student sitting in the classroom?
Yeah, that's a question that as a special ed teacher I get a lot, and through the years it's always like, how can I just help the student? And it's a fine line too between every day, what do you offer class wide versus what do you offer a child who you think has a disability, but it falls into the category of an accommodation, something that you would find on it, like a specialized accommodation. If you're going to offer an accommodation to a student you think needs support, you need to make sure it's a universal accommodation, and you're not giving this one child special privileges unless there's been a team involved in a conversation about, well, we're going to trial some things and we're going to, do some data collection for a few weeks and we're going to try this and see how it works. And, you know, so it's a real fine line. And I encourage you to reach out if that's the situation you're in to make sure you're not doing something you shouldn't be doing. But universal accommodations, you know, have for younger kids, have those colored overlays that you can see through. And we used to use them for on overhead projectors back in the day when overhead projectors were a thing. So red, yellow, blue, green, I think those are the four colors they come in. Sometimes there are shades of those colors, but have those so that kids can use them and cover when they're reading, cover their page. A lot of times kids with a disability, the black and white, the stark contrast between black print and white page is too much, and their brain can't handle that diametric opposite. And then when you lay the colored sheet over, generally it's blue that works the best. But, you know, let kids choose. They have to find what works for them. So advocate for them figuring out what works for them and start that process of how do I find my needs and how do I work with that. So those colored overlays are a great place to start. Amazon has them. They have them in strips and they have them in full sheets. And so you can do that. Calculators, you know, that's a pretty easy universal accommodation in math. And you know what? As grownups, we are using our calculators on our phones all the time. So as great as it is to have all of your math facts memorized, it's a good brain activity. Some kids just need that support of a calculator. So why not just let it be, unless you're doing a timed test on math facts, then of course not a calculator, you know. You need to know those facts too, but I'd say colored overlays and then the calculators are great universal accommodations. Another universal accommodation that's really beneficial for the whole class is using, when you're writing on the board, using color-coded markers to signify different parts of speech or different things that you want to emphasize. So we've got those Expo markers now in all the shades, you know, you can buy packs of 15 colors. Use them to emphasize the different things that you're writing on the board that are important. But that said, too, another universal accommodation that's very, very helpful for kids who are in the general classroom, but kids with learning disabilities, is to write things down. If you're going to give directions, write them down, give them verbally and then give them visually. Keep it up there. Highlight it, do it somehow where it's written so the kids can see. We're on page 157. Just quick turn around and write page 157 on the board. So they had it in their ears and now they can read it on the board and catch up quickly. So my top three.
Excellent. Talking with Dr. Tracy Salgado, Director of Special Education at Lutheran Special Education Ministries, on the podcast. So we talked about some of the advice that you would give to teachers in their classrooms. What about to any parents that are listening in on the podcast today, especially parents of students who may be struggling with, again, a learning challenge? What are some just bits of advice that you would give to parents who are looking for, whether it's information, support, websites, anything that they can do as they continue to advocate for their children and work to meet their needs as they continue to grow and learn in school?
Gosh, I love it when parents come to school saying, my student needs help. My child needs help. What can we do? I love when parents are involved in their child's education and want to partner with the school. So advice is, if you have a concern, reach out to your child's teacher with your concern and look through what your child is doing in the classroom. What is your concern? What's the basis for your concern? And then what's the data behind your concern? What is your child doing as far as schoolwork? And how is your child comparing to other kids their age in the curriculum? But and don't be afraid to reach out. If the school isn't responsive, reach out to LSEM. We've got ways that we can address concerns with parents as well. But then resources for parents. Rich, put me on the spot. I try not to keep these things in my brain because they're easily, I can look them up so easily. Give me a second.
Not a problem. I know one that we've historically talked about at LSEM would be something like an Autism Speaks kind of website. Again, information that they can provide to parents who are dealing with children that are on the spectrum, that sort of a thing. So anything like that kind of comes to mind for you as you're considering that?
There's one, I think it's called IEP Online. It gives a lot of information about IEPs and how the meetings are supposed to be run and the roles everybody has. There's one called understood.org is a great resource for families and schools. I also like the lawfind.com. I don't think that's the right one. Maybe I could put it in the notes. I'll look it up and I can put it in the notes of the podcast, perhaps, of the website I'm trying to think of, but it's a great resource for, not that you want to, encourage legal action or anything like that, but it just gives, it's a great legal website that says, here's, if you have a child with an IEP or a 504 or a child with a learning disability, here's the school's role, here's your role, and here's how you mesh these two. That's what I like about it, is it's not finger pointing in one direction. It encourages that collaboration between the school and the family.
And that's a great resource for especially a principal who maybe has a parent or a grandparent coming in and explaining what they believe the rules and the laws are, to be able to have a source that's non-biased, can very specifically, spell out what those rules and obligations are as a guide and assist. That sounds like a great resource in that respect.
Yeah. I'll find it. We'll put it in the notes for the podcast.
All right. Perfect. Again, it's our podcast. We can do what we want.
Yeah.
So I guess give you kind of a big picture question, Tracy. You just started off in this role. In fact, as we're talking here today, this podcast is being released here in January, but we're talking just before Christmas, and Tracy is not home in Arizona enjoying that warmth that she talked about earlier, but she's on the road already in Minnesota visiting some of our partner schools. So she's jumped right in and is really getting to work to get to know our teachers and our programs and to bring her own knowledge and abilities into the ministry. So I guess that's the question that I'll toss out at you at this point. What's your vision for where you see LSEM going now that you've had a few weeks to get to know a little bit about who we are, what we do, some of our quirks? Where do you see this going? What dreams do you have for the ministry to be able to continue to grow and expand on the services that it's providing?
Sure. You asked me before what drew me to apply for the role. And one of the things was, reading on your, on the organization's website was the desire to keep children in Christian schools, despite them having a learning disability. It's all too common where families are faced with, well, child has a learning disability. I really want them to go to a Christian school, but they don't have the services to support them. So I'm going to have to send them to the public school. And I really don't want that. And that to me is unacceptable. Like, it's my goal to not only continue those services in our current partner schools so that students can stay in their Christian school that their family has chosen for whatever reason, but also to grow that and make sure that Christian schools everywhere understand that we provide these services and the support, and that, you know, if we can get kids with learning disabilities to be in the Christian school that their families choose for them, not only is it good for that child and that family, but it's also good for the church community to be able to open their doors with the proper support to meet the needs of those students and their families. It just brings God's word to more families, which, you know, it's that ripple effect in more families that we can provide support for and God is present in, is going to impact the world as a greater good. And I just, that's my vision, and my goal is to bring creative new ways to make sure that kids are staying in their Christian schools that they choose, and then to grow that population at the different schools.
So Tracy, I so will finish up with this question here. When you're not traveling the world now on behalf of LSCM or coming up with plans and programs for our schools and our students, what do you like to do when you're away from work? Tell us a little bit about your family, about your hobbies, your interests, those other things that you enjoy doing.
When I'm not working, I enjoy my kids. I have two adult children, and I love hearing about them and what they're doing and the impact they're making on the world. So talk to my kids pretty often. I also have a small little ranch in the Northwest Valley of Phoenix. And so I was raising goats and chickens. Now we just have chickens. We got rid of our goats for various reasons. And so we'll come back to goats later, but right now we're just a chicken farm. And so we have chickens that give us eggs. And then when I'm not running around with my chickens or chasing them around the yard, I like to run long distance. I'm an ultra distance runner. So distances of 50 plus miles. And ultimately my goal is to run a 100-mile race in 2025. I haven't chosen my race yet, but I have it narrowed down to a couple different ones, but that's my goal. I want to earn a buckle after a 100-mile race.
Well, I will look forward to cheering you on in that endeavor. Not so much joining you in that endeavor, but that's amazing. That's an amazing thing to be able to do. And again, I know that I speak for many of us at LSCM when I say just how thrilled we are to have you on board, how, you know, how important your impact has already been in just a few weeks that you've been with the ministry. And we're looking forward to finishing up this school year and heading into the summer, into the next school year, in very good hands, knowing that you're helping to lead the way for us when it comes to the special education arm of our ministry, which it's in the name. It's a very critical, important piece to that. So let me just finish up by saying, if anybody listening wants to reach out to you to ask a question, get some information, schedule some professional development, just get to meet you, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Probably email is the fastest and quickest way. It's tsalgado@luthsped.org. Another way is you can always call or text me. My number is 608-397-4871. But email is quickest and fastest, and I'm mostly on that. So, yeah.
Excellent. Tracy, again, I really appreciate you taking the time to join us on the podcast. And again, it's great to be able to introduce you in this capacity. A little bit of a spoiler alert. Tracy's agreed to, in some future episodes, be the moderator for the Lutheran Education podcast. So you'll get to hear her on my side of the microphone and talking to some folks that she knows, and bringing, again, additional content information that's really going to be important and relevant to our Lutheran teachers to help them be the best that they can be in our classrooms. So On behalf of Dr. Salgado and our producer, Dave Klonke, want to say thanks to him and for all the great work that he does to put our podcast together. Thank you to Nissan for the Altima that Dr. Salgado is recording this podcast in. Very quiet. Very well done, guys, at Nissan. So thank you for that. And just again, thank you all to the Lutheran educators who listen to this podcast. If you really help us out, like the podcast where you listen to it, subscribe if you can, tell others about it, have them give it a listen. And the more we're able to grow this podcast, the more that we can provide to you and to your students in your school. So on behalf of all of us here at LSEM, just want to say thank you again for listening. I'm Richard Schumacher again, and you've been listening to the Lutheran Education Podcast brought to you by Lutheran Special Education Ministries. I know you know me.
I know. Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Education Podcast brought to you by Lutheran Special Education Ministries. For more information on this episode's topic or any other questions regarding Lutheran education or Lutheran Special Education Ministries, please feel free to contact us at 248-419-3390 or visit our website at www.luthsped.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.